In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The church today, since the day of Pentecost, continues to lead us a certain path. In other words, there are certain things that we need to reflect on as we move forward from Pentecost. Of course, 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the Mother of God, and many, many people were converted on that day. Last week, we celebrated all saints, who have ever lived and who ever will live, as manifestations of that Spirit that was given on Pentecost. Well, that theme continues somewhat today, because even though we sort of break it down a little bit with our celebration of All Saints of America, yet the gospel reading today reflects on calling. That's where the church wants us to go on this day. Because we see that Andrew and Peter, who were called today, actually this wasn't the first time they had encountered the Lord, because they were followers of John the Baptist. But when John was put into prison, they returned back to their fishing. This is indicated to us by the Gospel of St. John, which speaks of this. So it wasn't like it was the first time that they had seen Jesus or anything like that. John had spoken to them about this. But when he was arrested, they didn't know what to do. They went back to their fishing. But now the Lord is coming and asking them to dedicate themselves full time to this particular ministry. And it's very interesting, I think, because being fishermen, they knew really one trade, and it was a very, very difficult one. Fishing has never been easy. Even today, with all the technology and everything we've got, it's not an easy thing to do. Back then, it was brutal, back-breaking work. But this was all that Peter or Andrew had known up to that point. But the Lord comes to them and says, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And it says immediately they got up and followed, because they knew who he was. And now they figured the time was for things to change in their lives. And of course, the Lord, being the divine human person he was, there was something very different about him, something that was magnetic, something that was commanding and powerful, that just allowed them to cast away all doubts they may have had to go and follow him. And of course, he doesn't stop there. He goes on with the sons of Zebedee, James and John, who also come and follow him. And so it's important for us today to reflect exactly on what calling is in our lives. Because if we look at some of the saints of North America, and there's so many now, I mean, it's wonderful, because years ago there was just a few. Now there's like 15. And we look at them and we see someone like St. Innocent of Alaska, whose icon we have back here in the narthex, who was a man who was born in 1797, and he became a priest, and it was decided that they were going to open a mission to the native Aleutians and other native peoples of the Alaska area. And so Nicholas volunteered to do this. And he took his aging mother and his wife and his young son and his brother, and they all went to Alaska, and the trip was difficult. It took them a year to get there. But Nicholas was, Innocent was an extraordinary, extraordinary man. He was someone who had many, many talents and gifts, perhaps some that he never even thought about before, because when he got to Alaska, he had to start training all of the native, soon-to-be Americans in that place in terms of carpentry skills. This is something that he had picked up as a young boy but had never used since. But yet now it comes back. He has to be a carpenter. He has to be a linguist, because he ended up translating many portions of the gospel into 6 different dialects after he had learned them, and he was using the Cyrillian manuscript that he had from his church Slavonic.
And this is just one of the many things that he was called to do when he first went over. He had no inclination as to all the things that were going to be demanded of him. Even though he had a family, even though he had commitments to that family and to his aging mother, he goes out on this trek because he's feeling the call of God. God is asking him to do something that he had never thought of before, and yet he goes. He wrote a wonderful little book called Indications in the Way of the People of Heaven that is still read in many, many places today. But Nicholas answered the call and went. A few years after that, maybe 8 to 10 years, he was called back to Russia to give an account of what was going on there. During that time, his wife died alone in Alaska with the son that was there, the aging mother, and the woman. And so Nicholas returns after that. Excuse me, I keep saying Nicholas. I'm talking about Innocent of Alaska. And Innocent went back to Alaska after all of this time. And he didn't balk at going back. In fact, they decided to make him a bishop. So he goes back as a bishop. He continues his work for many, many more years until he's finally called back to Russia and was elected Metropolitan of Moscow, replacing Metropolitan Philaret, St. Philaret of Moscow. And so he had this extraordinary life where he was doing one thing after another, using skills that he had learned somewhat, but yet wasn't certain of it, and was asked to develop new skills along the way. No doubt, St. Peter, St. Andrew felt the same way when they were called away, because they had none of the skills that you would think that the Lord would want for apostles. But on Pentecost, they certainly picked them up. And of course, the Lord used them as he needed, because he didn't say, well, come and help me out, bring the things that you've got and help me because I'm in need of this, that, or the other, and I could use you. No, he said, I will make you fishers of men. In other words, I will give you the things that you need for your successful implementation of all my teachings. They had to leave, it says, their nets. What are the nets in all of this? The gospel account by Matthew could have said, well, they had to leave their boats, they had to leave their fishing. But no, Matthew had something deeper in that. Because the nets also referred to those things that were holding them back from communion with God. The nets were their sins. And he was calling them away from their sins to help build the kingdom of God, showing us that even though we may be encumbered with many sins, and we always will be, that we are called for anyway to accept the things that God wants us to be, just as St. Innocent did. Because, again, St. Innocent at the time was someone who was young in a family situation, probably the last guy that you would think would want to make that trek to Alaska. But he didn't. Peter and Andrew were most likely thinking the same thing. What can we do? Well, we don't know, but we know we have to follow this man. And it's the same thing for us in our lives today as we try and discern what our calling is. Now, most of us spend a lot of time on something like this as we're working our way through life, as we're working our way through our careers, our talents, trying to ascertain the things that we think that we need to do, what skills do we have, all this sort of thing. And we also confuse the idea of calling, meaning following Christ in the church, with everything else that's going on in our lives. No. Everything in our lives is a calling, no matter what it happens to be. We don't divorce whatever it is we're doing out there to earn a living, to go through life trying to raise families, etc., etc. We do all of these things. But again, it has to be integrated with our calling as Christians to leave the things that are holding us back behind, to get out of the encumbrances of the nets that hold us down and to move forward and follow the Lord. This is where the gift of Pentecost, which enables us to become saints, now gets put into practice. When we are awakened to the things that the Lord is asking us to do and to follow Him, even though we might think that it's difficult. How many have backed away from certain challenges that you perhaps were going to face because you just felt like, this just isn't me, or this I don't have this in me, I can't really do this, because I mean that's so different from anything I've done before. Thinking, I don't have a talent for that. I can't do this in the church, for instance, because I'm no good at this. But God is the one who will grant you these abilities. God is the one who will make all of us fishers of men. Because in our everyday lives, no matter what we're doing, even if we're not overtly involved in things of the church all the time, even though we should be, but even if we're not doing something like that, we are called to be, martyria, witnesses to Christ in everything that we do, in all of our actions, in all of our discussions, in all of our conversations, everything we do as Christians, because of the baptismal grace that is in us, is something that comes to the surface and presents Christ to the world. And if we're not living that life, then people are not going to see Christ in us, and they're going to turn away from Christ. We've seen that this past week. I normally don't bring politics up, but with the Roe v. Wade thing in everybody's mind, it's something that really has surfaced in my own mind this week, not having anything to do with the decision itself, but with the reaction of people to it, that I found completely disgusting and un-Christ-like and even inhuman in terms of some of the scenes I saw this week on television with women and men walking around with images and little baby dolls bleeding and cut open and everything, and touting this as this is somehow a great thing. This is something we want. We want this ability to just slaughter children. What a great day. Are you kidding me? This is how far the world has drifted from not only any sense of Judeo-Christian ethics, but from the sense of any human ethics, from even the most basic consideration of what it is to be a human being and how important that is. It's gone. I mean, you see it. All of these people out there laughing, joking, screaming about the fact that they're mad because they can't tear children apart in the womb anymore. What in the world is that? That's a sickness. It's a profound sickness. And you, my brothers and sisters, through your following this calling to come to Jesus Christ, to portray Him in the world, you are the ones that are the antidote for this. And you've got to remember that. No one can escape it. No one who dares to call themselves an Orthodox Christian can escape that responsibility for manifesting Christ to a world that is bleeding and dying, doesn't seem to even care. It's important. It's very important. You've got to realize, you've got to take into yourselves this great grace that is given to us to manifest Christ in the world. Because if you manifest Christ, you are manifesting absolutely the dignity and the importance of the human person, the human being, the top of the food chain, despite what anybody else may say. You are gifted of God, and that you are made in His image and likeness. And it's time for all of us to stand up and make that image and likeness manifest to you. The saints did this. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew did this. It cost them their lives in the end. that they knew it was the right thing, and they went forward joyfully in this proclamation. Let all of us take these things into consideration, to emulate the saints, to emulate the apostles, and become one with our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may present this great faith, this great hope, life itself, to the world that so desperately needs it. Amen.